funny.
Did you hear that?
Funny. Yeah, the guy said, honey, you're a funny girl. That's me, I just keep them in stitches. Double in half, and I may be all wrong for the guy. I'm good for a laugh, I guess it's not funny. Life is far from sunny when the laugh is over and the joke's on you.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to
the sleepy time.
Welcome to relaxing time. Welcome to late night with Josh, Jen, and Ed. Actually, here's a joke.
The soothing sounds of jazz.
Seriously.
Here's a joke that four of our listeners will get. Welcome to Delilah with Josh, Jen, and Ed. Aww. Jennifer, who are you thinking of tonight?
Who's my long distance request?
Who's on your mind?
I swear, I was in LA. I was in LA in the 90s for a little bit. I recall that being a radio thing. Is that like a radio thing?
It's not only in LA. Delilah's actually like international. She's so international that they will take her show and cut the songs out and like put in different songs for different parts of the world and different parts of the country. It's crazy. Mm. Like, Delilah is a thing.
Oh, yeah.
People then, if I know about it. That...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to listen to her years ago back in Boston. And then I'm going to say like in 98, I was stuck in Utah for a few days. And we were driving all over. And the only radio station we could get had Delilah.
I think everyone in Utah is stuck there.
In so one way, shape, or form.
I did. Yeah. I was in a tiny little town of Utah for 2 days, like tiny, had one street, but it had a Mexican restaurant in the basement beneath a mortuary. And I went to the Mexican restaurant specifically so that I could ask the woman who owned it, why do you own a Mexican restaurant in the basement of a mortuary in Utah?
And what was her answer?
She followed a guy.
Wow.
And then, but she doesn't have the guy anymore. The entire world is littered with people that say, I followed a girl,
but now
I'm here. Followed a guy.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com. You can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. I'm at Josh Brunell. She's at Jenny B. Creative. He's at Edward Giordano. Jennifer.
Joshua.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm great, because you know why?
Why?
I'm on vacation.
We're on vacation.
4 whole days.
We got vacation.
We're going to San Diego.
But still, we're on vacation.
Heck yeah.
Ed, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm getting over being sick, and I'm off today, so yay.
Awesome.
Yes, we are going to San Diego for Comic-Con, so we'll let everybody know how that's going. Ed, have you pre-purchased your Glee the 3D movie concert movie? I think it's Glee the 3D concert movie. I think that's technically the title.
No. but I might go. I mean, I don't. Is it coming to theaters? Hold on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for 2 weeks in August.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Well, then 2 weeks in August. I think I'll be able to get tickets.
I'm gonna bring my dad.
Yeah, I think, but we're going to pre-buy the crap out of those tickets, because those tickets are going to go fast.
They're going to go fast out here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially the theater that we want to see them in, with the assigned
maybe.
Seats.
Oh, okay,
no.
Funny story. Okay, for Harry Potter 7-1, No, I have yet to see 7.2.
7.1.
Yes.
7.1. Me and a couple of my friends, we were going to go see it a couple days later. So we chose a time to meet, okay? And all three of us went to three different theaters. No. I went to the one like downtown.
That's awesome.
And then one went all the way like out of town, and then one went in between. And it's like, and I call, I was like, where are you? Like, I'm standing outside. Oh, we're just right inside. And I walk inside. No, you're not.
Oh, that's so funny. And it was like, all at the same time.
At the same time. And like, it was seriously a sitcom. Like, I was like,
I think I've seen that in Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
I plan on seeing Deathly Hallows too. I just haven't had the time.
Yeah, everyone's freaking out in the chat room that Ed hasn't seen Deathly Hallows.
I was like dying
too,
sick
either.
For a couple days, and I've been working a lot in addition to that. So no.
Well, I also read the book 100 years ago. Like, I don't really need to see this movie. The book was better. The books are all better.
Yeah, but I mean, still, ordinarily we would have gone opening night, but we just had stuff going.
We've never gone opening night to Potter movie. Oh, the Deathly Hallows one. We
P1,
went to.
Yeah.
We went to opening night.
Yes,
and I
we
think
did.
I went to opening night for the very first one, which I detested. And
I
so.
Went and saw it on my birthday, but I hadn't read the books yet. So,
See, that's the thing. Yeah. I love those books like my children. Like,
which you don't have. So.
I freaking adore those books. And so when I watch the movies, I'm like, you're all right, but you're not as good as like the freaking, the books
I'm
is so good.
Still very, very excited about it. I've been hearing great things and I'm can't wait.
But so welcome to the Gleeful podcast discussing
Harry Potter. It's summer. There's no new Glee. They can't be mad at us.
Yeah. We're talking about.
We appreciate our views on other topics, right? Right.
Exactly. We're talking about things related to Glee in the Glee-verse, right? In the
relevant,
Glee-verse.
I mean, the relevant Glee competition. Culture. Relevant
well,
competition.
You know, we don't really talk about this too much. You know, like, Ed, what are you watching for the summer? Like, you're really into Platinum Hit. How's that going?
I love Platinum Hit. Platinum Hit is legitimate. I think people should be watching because no one's watching it. And yes, most people were upset about last week's elimination, but it was 100% justified after the way he treated Nick. So whatever. And I'm really into Big Brother right now. I'm a diehard Rachel fan, and I know that means that I probably alienated 80% of our audience being a diehard Rachel. But I don't know. I liked it last season. I can't help but love an underdog. When your back's against the wall and somehow you survive, it's reminiscent of BB6 era Janelle. So.
Wow. My aunt is obsessed with Big Brother as well. You guys could go to town on that show.
Well, I'm sure we could. I've been seriously watching American Dad, no joke, all the time. I am Roger. That is all there is to it.
The alien?
Sorry, I had to turn your mic
like,
down.
He's the character that I, on television, that I most see myself in. Of all characters on television ever, I'm like, you know, if I had a higher production budget, I would be Roger.
Like, so the kind of effeminate alien who has a closet full of crazy costumes, that's your character?
And multiple personalities.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yes.
There you go.
And drunk Alki too.
Yes. The only episode I've seen of American Dad was the Christmas episode where he's in quest of like the best moonshine ever.
I just watched that episode today.
So funny.
Oh, we saw that at Comic-Con last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I mean, Jennifer, we don't really watch a lot of shows during the summer. I'm watching Hell's Kitchen. I started Hell's Kitchen like 2 years ago, and now it's just when that show comes on, I get all excited. It makes me want to eat beef Wellington.
Nice.
And I'm not even a big foodie, but I think I just like Gordon Ramsay. Like, I watch anything Gordon Ramsay is on. I like people that dress down unsuspecting people. I think that's fun.
Well, he's also a happy, angry guy like you.
He's crazy happy. Happy and crazy angry.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That he's your alter ego. He's
yes.
your. So there you go, Ed. That's Josh's.
I'm Gordon Ramsay, except
well, I mean,
not
exactly.
nearly as good looking and not a former football player.
Are you both watching the show where it's really exciting at the beginning and then as you go throughout the season it has a lame conclusion, but yet you still watch the next season, aka
True Blood? Yes.
Yep. True Blood. So I'm like, it pulls you in, and then it disappoints ever since then.
That's how it always is.
I'm not disappointed. I'd be disappointed if I wasn't disappointed.
See, here's the thing about True Blood. You're exactly right, Ed. That every season starts off. The thing about True Blood is the episodes are so crazy that it's like you walk away from every episode being like, that was mediocre, none of it means anything, and all these characters piss me off, but that was freaking crazy. And that's how I feel about every episode.
Every season it like pulls you in, and then as I keep going, I'm like, I guess I'll finish this season.
But True Blood is also...
And it's a lame conclusion. It's like the lamest conclusion to every... Like, I'm so pissed about the main ad thing.
Oh, wait. Oh.
But
yeah, Jennifer's an episode or two behind. So.
Yeah,
no, it's season three.
Right, you know, yeah. But actually, afterwards, I realized what he was talking about. Was that season two? No, that was season two.
It doesn't matter. I'm so pissed. It doesn't matter.
Well, the only reason I remember is because I just watched the last two and a half seasons in about 3 weeks. So I caught completely up, and yes.
You like to do that. You're into the...
She's a gorger.
You don't like
She's
the...
binge and purge. She's hardcore.
I'm a binger.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, sorry.
Like, because people always are like, Ed, like, they always talk about movies to me, and I never watch. I really don't watch movies. Like, it's, like, not my thing. Because apparently I don't have the time commitment to give to a movie. But I do like the idea of having constantly entertained watching every week. So half hour a week isn't much of a commitment to me, but 2.5 hours in a row is kind of a commitment. And then, of course, I'm watching Weeds, which I love. But it's just like... I can't rewatch an episode of Weeds ever. You just like watch it. That you can't rewatch it. It's in and it's out. It's great the first time, but it would be tragic the second time.
Yeah, I've watched.
It's all about the surprise. Weeds is all about the surprise.
I've watched the first it's 5 seasons of Weeds, and I can't. I don't know. I mean, as soon as they left the suburbs, I didn't understand what the point of that show was anymore. As soon as they left the suburbs, I'm like, oh, okay. So it was before she was like a suburban housewife doing anything to keep her family together. And now she's like kind of a hooker. Like, I don't even know where. I haven't seen the last season. So I can't stand it.
Okay. I will agree with you. Season 4 and season 5, when she left the suburbs, were terrible. But they had a refocus, and season 6 was great, and season 7 was great. Is going so far great. So, but you watch it once, and then you move on.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I've only watched up to the end of season 5, so maybe that'll be my next one.
Give it a season 6 a chance. Through. Give it a chance.
Well, I just haven't had an opportunity to get to it. The reason I end up watching older shows and watch them all in a row is like when I'm sculpting and painting, I like to have something on and I can just, you know, just go through them. Like, I watched the first 2 seasons of granted the first season was only 6 episodes, but Parks and Recreation, I went back and rewatched all of that in a night or two. But it's just because I do marathon painting and sculpting, so
yeah.
I was concerned that your reason was that you were fearful, like Josh, that you won't start watching a show until season 4 because that way it doesn't matter if it gets canceled.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm not like that at all. No.
That was the explanation I was waiting for. He's like, I can't. This show sounds interesting, but it's probably going to get canceled, so I'll commit myself to it in season 4.
See, I'm exactly the opposite, Ed. I will, if a show gets too deep in, then I won't want to have to, like, then it's like such play a chore to play catch up.
That was my reasoning for you.
Oh.
Which apparently is wrong.
No. That's, you know, that was kind of fun. We talked about other things, and we shall definitely continue that over the summer. Maybe we should just do an entire episode where we just talk about other shows and let the listeners kind of weigh in on other shows that they're watching. Because, there's more to life than Glee. It doesn't have to be all Glee all the time. Though, you know, at least for the podcast, it should be mostly Glee most of the time.
I'm fine with mostly Glee. Just Glee isn't that exciting now. Like, I've been watching it for weeks on television. It's like it's reruns or something.
It's definitely reruns right now. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this. She take my money when I'm in need. Yeah,
she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me.
She give me money.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, bro.
She give me money.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, bro. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon.
Well, you know, whenever you get successful, somebody comes calling, and they usually have a lawyer attached. Current topic of conversation is Ian Brennan, creator of Glee. Originally, he wrote it as a screenplay, then turned it into a series, and he's currently being sued by Michael Novick, a producer on Glee. Apparently, according to TMZ, Brennan got Novick to agree to, quote, lesser credit in money in exchange for more money in the future, depending on the success of the show, which is where the lawsuit comes in. He wants more money coming on now. I read the story, and what it looked to me, kind of being in this industry, is that Ian Brennan had a screenplay, and he brought a producer on to help him, you know, hopefully get the movie made. And then when they got the TV show made, this guy's like, well, I've been with you from the beginning, so you kind of owe me. And then Brennan's like, yeah, I totally kind of owe you. But I don't, you know, I still want to keep a little bit for myself. So it's interesting. There's been a lot of talk on the webs, but I'm actually surprised there hasn't been more lawsuits. I mean, usually when somebody, you know, takes as much from their own lives as Ian Brennan and Ralph Falchuk do, there's a lot of lawsuits involved. It's kind of wild that we've gotten this far, and I think this is the first, you know, one we've really heard about.
Yeah.
But that's going on. Yeah, that's going on. And then Idina Menzel is the giant news on the internet.
Yeah.
Idina Menzel coming back for a big season arc in season 3.
Really? Reportedly.
I'm sorry, Ed, you're fading in and out all over the place. What
did
you say?
Sorry. Oh, I said that it's up to 12 episodes, according to the reports I read.
Yeah, 10 to 12 episodes is going around. So we'll be seeing more of Idina Menzel.
Ooh, and then apparently Beth.
And yeah, and one would think she has Beth with her unless she has a sitter. So what do we think? Jennifer, what do you think Idina Menzel is going to come back and do?
I don't know. She'll probably do Will.
Probably provide motivation for Rachel to pursue Broadway.
That would be good too.
That's your thinking, Ed? Is it's going to be a Rachel Broadway plot?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Rachel, Quinn, and Mr. Schuster. All three of them are going to be involved. Who knows? It's like 12 episodes. You could do in Gleeverse. You could like change the world.
Well, I mean, I could totally see them, you know, exploring the storyline that because now that Shelby's a mother and, you know, caring for Beth, that maybe like more of her maternal instincts are coming out. Maybe she wants to have more of a connection with Rachel and maybe that brings them closer too. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Broadway thing's a great idea.
I mean, one of the things that we do know about Shelby, didn't Shelby have a history of being a performer? I want to say she like went to Broadway and tried to make it work and then came back to coach Vocal Adrenaline.
Sounds right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things that they can do. But I was, when I thought of Shelby, I like you, Jennifer, I went to Will first for some reason.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, she's going to be there to kind of like mix it up with Will and get Emma,
yeah.
You know, and there'll be some interesting stuff there. Either way, she was a really fun presence on the show. She's big, but she's not like, you know, take
April
over the plot
big.
April Rhodes big. So I think it'll be fun to see Idina Menzel around.
See, with her being a 10, 12 episode character, it's like Dot Marie Jones. Like, she's practically going to be a regular at that point. So,
yeah.
So like, there could be episodes where she's not doing that much, which is what it should be like. So,
yeah, it'd be nice to just see her kind of come in and out. That's
she'll
definitely the ideal.
She'll still probably have more of a presence than Sam.
Well, I think that story got taken out of context.
I know.
Intentionally. So yeah. Mind you.
Yeah, but. We talked about that before. I totally agree. I think it got taken way out of context. And you know, and now like all this stuff about Chris Kurt and or Chris Corey and Leah leaving, and it seems like Ryan Murphy is kind of a all press is good press type of guy.
As long as people are talking, it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
So we never quite know what we're gonna do. It hasn't failed him yet.
No, it has not. Well, let's go ahead and we have three of these to listen to. Let's go ahead and take a listen to a bit of the Glee Project.
There's four of them.
Ah, there are four.
Really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
away.
Baby,
it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd
so
drop
very
in.
Nice.
I'll hold your hands, but just like
my mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
What's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing
listen
the floor
through the fireplace.
So
door.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't.
But
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I
the
pour.
Neighbors might.
So this is the Glee Project. We're going to talk a little bit about now. This was Parability Week, and they did four music videos. This particular one being Lindsay and Cameron. We had Lindsay and Cameron doing Baby It's Cold Outside. Damien and Mateus did The Lady's a Tramp. Don't You Want Me was Marissa
and
Samuel.
I never remember her name.
Yes, and Nowadays was Hannah and Alex. But we'll go ahead and start with Lindsay and Cameron. Actually, let's just go this way. There were four duets. I think we can all agree on what was the best one, Jennifer.
This one?
I would think everybody would say it was Marissa and Samuel. They did end up winning the competition as well.
They did. So they won the initial competition, and then they did that. I thought it was okay, but he was kind of angry stalkerish in the video, so it turned me off a little. So I think I enjoyed
it. That's exactly why I loved it, though.
I totally agree, though. I agree with Jennifer. That was my entire problem with that one, is she was very in the vibe and with the moment, and he was kind of weird.
You
creepy,
intense, not weird, intense.
No, but there's a difference between intense and creepy.
It's subjective. So
here's a Lady's a Tramp. So Mateus and Damien on that one,
goofy.
They never should have been put together. There was no reason that they should have been put together.
But there was like a lack of choices by that point.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Once you pair up the Haley and the Caseys and the Scotties and the Laurens, you're going to end up with some James and Jacobs. Like, this is how it works.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is the point. You know, Parability is more than just being able to be, you know, you can be put with anyone, but it's not always a good thing.
Yeah, but I think they made the most of it. It was fun, and I mean, it got a little goofy at times, but they definitely, at least Damien, had the right attitude to carry through.
Yeah. They both seemed pretty earnest to, like, they were going to make this work, like, if at all possible. And, you know, that's what the producers are looking for, or at least that's seems to be, as much as we can figure out what they're looking for, we don't seem to know. Here's a bit of a Samuel and Marissa when they did Don't You Want Me.
When I met you,
I picked you out, I shook you up and turned you around.
Won't see me, don't you want me?
Don't you want me?
You know I don't believe you when you say that you don't need me. It's much too late to find. You think you changed your mind? You better.
seem as stalkerish a second time through.
Watching it?
Yeah. The first time it was pretty distractingly stalkerish. But I do get the sense that he doesn't have a lot of subtlety. Like, he kind of... There's yet to be really an acting portion of the show.
I doubt there will be. I'm just kidding. Maybe.
Well, I mean, they were talking more about acting in this one than I recall them talking in the past.
Yeah.
At least during the elimination, you know, the part where they had to perform again and do the elimination thing.
Yeah, with the parability, it kind of forced them to connect with another, or at least attempt to connect with another human being.
Yeah.
And then the last one was Nowadays with Hannah and Alex. And this was interesting. here's a bit of that one.
You can even marry Harry, but mess around with Ike, and that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it? But nothing stays. In 50 years or so, it's gonna change, you know.
There we go. The funny thing about that one is I think that Alex made a prettier girl.
Aww,
at least in that particular setting and that outfit.
Well, their voices sound great together, I think.
They did. I was kind of fearful for that one, but they ended up making a pretty good pair.
They were my second favorite.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
But in the end, it was Mateus that went home. I think a lot of people were kind of ready for Mateus to go home.
Yeah, I was reading that on Facebook. I can't remember where I saw it. He kept, you know, shoving stuff back at Alex, but in so many ways he was being more of a diva and more of a headache than Alex was at that point.
It was interesting. Alex is kind of, he seems to be one of these people that's like a diva by nature. And Mateus was a diva by insecurity. And I think that's where, like, you know, they're both kind of frustrating. And I felt like because of, you know, Mateus's his height and his nature seemed to be people kind of going to him and being like, we want to see you, you know, deliver here, but he just couldn't, you know. They kept saying, like, he kept saying he wanted to be like a rock singer. Like, he's like, I have this rock style, and I don't hear that at all when he would perform. So it was interesting. But you know, Ed, you just saw the videos, and from the videos, just seeing those four parability videos, were you surprised that Mateus went home?
That was clearly the worst one. Clearly far away. And I felt like Damien was like schmoozing me through the camera. I'm like, okay, calm down, Damien. I know you're with Celtic Thunder still, so it's like whatever. But I don't know. Like, yeah. Honestly, they could have gotten rid of both of them. It would have been for the best. But
what did you say, Jennifer?
I was just saying, he can't turn off that Irish charm. What can you say?
it's interesting to see. I think the big thing that happened for me in this episode was I kind of lost all interest in Cameron in this episode. You didn't really see this, Ed, but one of the things that happened in this episode is at the end of Cameron's video with Lindsay, she kissed him, which admittedly she just did because it had happened in the Don't You Want Me video. And people were like, whoa, I guess, you know... people seem to kind of take offense to that, but I said, hey, you know, somebody made a challenge and she went, I need to step up to the challenge. So it didn't really bother me too much. But when she did it, then of course Cameron got squeamish and said he felt like he was cheating on his girlfriend and yada yada. And at the end of the day, like, if you can't act, I mean, kissing Lindsay,
do you mean Samuel? Because
no, this is
Cameron and Lindsay. The baby is cold outside video.
Yeah, okay. At the end, like, when if it, smooching Lindsay at the end of a video is the least you will have to do if you actually got on Glee. I mean, they go far further than that. So in that way, I kind of went, well, as interesting as you are, apparently you're never going to be an actor.
Yeah.
If you can't separate you and the character, you're never going to be an actor. And then you're kind of just wasting our time at this point. I don't know. How did you feel about that, Jennifer?
Yeah, I mean, I understand he's naive. I understand he has very strong, Christian beliefs. But to be that naive about working in entertainment and again, having to portray a physical relationship with somebody, even as simple as a kiss, yeah, I think it was a little...
Ed has a dog.
A little much.
Yeah, it seemed very... there's a difference between naive and just kind of like, why are you wasting my time?
Yeah, and then, okay, why did he call his mother and not his girlfriend?
Well, he had to, he didn't want to call his girlfriend. She'll see the show.
Great.
Well, we had a couple of listeners that wanted to weigh in on the Glee Project as well. Here's one.
Hi, guys. This is listener Karen from West Hills, California, right in your neck of the woods, your
Hello.
Neighbor. I wanted to make a couple points about the Gleeful podcast. First of all, Gleeful Project, sorry. First of all, whoever was steering us in the direction of letting us know that Mateus was the winner, since Ryan Murphy was following him on Twitter and he was the only contender that Ryan was following on Twitter, obviously that was false because he got eliminated this week. And I actually couldn't be happier because I don't think he's the right fit for the show. Second of all, I'm a little annoyed at Ryan Murphy always saying that I don't know how to write for this person or that person, and I always wanted to have, like in Cameron's case, a character who's a Christian on the show. You know, I thought that these kids were supposed to be actors and acting a part, so they should be able to act and play whatever role Ryan writes for them. So it seems to me like he's using these kids to give him character ideas, and that isn't exactly what I thought the whole Gleeful Project thing was about. Anyway, I do enjoy the show a lot, but these things have been bugging me, and I love the Gleeful Podcast, and I listen to you guys every week religiously, and keep up the good work, and I'll be listening. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
And thank you. That was a very that was a good message. And yeah, kind of the same things we were saying. It's interesting. I can't tell what Ryan Murphy wants.
Ryan Murphy wants someone who's a full package that he could he feels like, oh, I could just write forever about this person.
Yeah.
Because they're exuding so much personality that it's just easy.
Yeah.
And that's really all there is to it. That's why Ryan Murphy's looking for the easiest fit and the easiest person to write for, because he feels like it writes itself.
As opposed to just finding, creating a character and then finding an actor to fulfill that.
Yeah, he's doing this the opposite way. But it's because, I think the issue with this is because this is a disingenuous contents. Because these are not the best contestants that he had.
And this is the honest, it's just filling time until the show
exactly.
comes back.
Let's be honest. I mean, we've run a podcast, and I'm always happy there's an episode of the Glee Project to talk about.
Yeah, and they're just keeping their exposure up, and that makes sense.
You run a Glee podcast, Josh?
Have you heard? It's a good one. It's a good one.
I hear it's okay.
I have listeners.
We have listeners.
I love that. It's like, I hear it's just okay.
Yeah.
We got one other message. Here's this one.
Okay.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Alainka. I've been listening to your podcast since about season one, and I'm from Tennessee. So yeah, you have a Tennessee viewer. I just wanted to say something about the Glee Project. I just watched the fourth episode. I know I'm kind of late, but I think if by the end of the Glee Project, you want to say who had your favorite moment. My favorite moment would be when, I don't remember the girl's name, but she was doing the Can't Touch This music number, practicing booty popping, and Damien says that this is hot, and he tells Alex, we're all committing sins inside our heads. I thought it was just hilarious.
That was cute.
And then, yeah, I think that's it. I love your podcast. Bye.
Yes, Damien does manage to, while being probably the most, you know, the worst dancer and one of the more questionable singers, he does manage to be adorable every week. He has a thing going for him.
Yeah. And he's definitely showing more of his personality and not, you know, just who he thinks he's supposed to be. He's starting to loosen up and be more, even more charming.
It's the Irish thing.
It's the Irish thing.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about this.
On the rooftop, thinking it's about to pour. People run for shelter, trying to get out that storm. But I got you with me, the sun behind me. So what are we leaving for? Let's stay. Let's get carried away. Your eyes are begging me to touch you there. Could be a thousand people watching, but we don't care.
Well, Matthew Morrison's debut album has been out for a couple months now, and we are just now getting up the courage to take a listen and check in on his record. You know, Matthew Morrison, who plays Mr. Schuster on the show, this is his first full-length record, though he has done plenty of cast recordings and things in the past that you can find. Big history of doing Broadway and things like that, and playing Mr. Schuster. We saw him perform live.
We did.
And he's a lot of fun. He essentially is Mr. Schuster.
He is kind of dorky like that, yeah.
I just sat there watching him perform, just being like, either you're not acting as Mr. Schuster, or you're totally, you are in character as we speak. Summer Rain was the big single, but, you know, we should take a listen to one of the songs that are not quite a single. Jennifer, do you have a preference of some of a favorite off the record?
I actually kind of liked It's Over, just because it was so different. And to me, it, well, not just because it was the last song, but and it was over. To me, it felt more Broadway, and it just seemed to suit him more.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to It's Over. And this is the last song on the album, ironically enough. Here is It's Over by Matthew Morrison on the Gleeful Podcast.
I see her looking, but what does she see? Just for this moment, I wish I weren't me. 'Cause I'm not the future she thought I would be. It's over. I know this feeling, I felt it before. All of the signs that she chose to ignore. Didn't she notice my eye on the door? It's over.
I agree. I do think this is the best song on the album. And for kind of exactly the same reason you said, this is... He should be doing this. This is very Broadway. It's written by him and Mark Scheinman, who wrote Hairspray.
There you go.
This is where Matthew Morrison, I think, should be, is most comfortable. It's where he belongs. And, you know, the best and worst thing I can say about this record is that he tries everything on this album. He goes to every corner to try to get a sound that's going to work for him, and he never quite does. He never quite, you know, dials in who Matthew Morrison is on this album.
Yeah.
Ed, how did you feel about it?
Ironically, because it's his, isn't it like self-titled?
Yes, ironically, it is called Matthew Morrison.
Yeah.
I feel like it's well produced. That is true.
It's overproduced, though. That's, but yes, well, it is okay, well produced. Yeah,
it's definitely not low budget. It's definitely not low budget. He tries a lot of things, and my biggest issue is that I don't know whether it's a lack of commitment, it probably is, or like he didn't commit to any particular style, and very few songs have the necessary bite that needs to be successful. Now it comes across as like an easy listening record that I would never really want to listen to.
Right.
It's even hard to call it. Like, I don't know that he was really going for, you know, mainstream Billboard Top 100. He feels very, it feels very adult contemporary to me that he was going for that audience. But even that doesn't quite work because he has a couple random songs like Don't Stop Dancing. There's a lot of...
That's like one of the few ones I'm like, okay, well, maybe this kind of works some of the time.
But he's too old for it. And it's like Don't Stop Dancing and Hey, which really feel like late 90s. Backstreet Boys, NSYNC leftovers, and then he has two country songs on the record. The duet he does with Sting, which is really poor.
Yeah.
And it's like I want to give him credit for where credit is due. Like, if anything, this album did make me like Summer Rain more.
Well, I mean,
which is not a bad song. I mean, it's great to listen to while you're shopping at Macy's.
Yeah, I mean, there is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do every now and then love me some, you know, easy, sleazy, cheesy listening, but it's just, it's a little too much, and I feel like this is the soundtrack for, like, if they did a remake of the movie Cocktail. Like, it's just, it's kind of disjointed like a soundtrack, but it just feels cheesy enough to be that.
It does have just, it has that layer of kind of all of these songs were things that got left off of other albums.
Yeah.
He does try a ton of stuff, you know. Still Got Tonight is like very kind of pop anthemic. Summer Rain is supposed to be kind of sexy and dancey. The song that I think I had the largest problem with was My Name, which is essentially the whole concept behind My Name as a song is that he's saying, you know, Mr. Schuster, but you don't know me. We look alike, but you don't know my name. And it's kind of this like whiny, privileged, you know, like, I know that I'm on this incredibly popular show and I'm a huge success, but I want you to know me for me. It's like what I was thinking in the car is Lea Michele would never have to sing this song because we know who she is. She's out there knocking doors down everywhere she goes. Lea Michele never has to sing a song where she's like, why don't you know my name? You only know the character I play. And I'm like, Matthew Morrison, the problem is you shouldn't be singing this song. You should just be out there knocking down doors and doing amazing performances. And we'd never have, you know, it just comes off as kind of whiny and awkward, that one. That song really kind of put me off a lot of the other things. His Somewhere Over the Rainbow version with Gwyneth Paltrow is just awkward. It didn't work for me at all. And then Mona Lisa's a Mad Hatter is mashed up with Rocket Man. Now, Ed, that must have just, like, when I was listening to that, I'm like, oh, Ed's gonna hate this one.
I mean, I thought it was ambitious, and that's nice.
I give him points.
I don't hate mashups, though.
I understand, but it is exactly what you don't like about mashups. Like, he sings two verses of Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's, and then he sings a verse of Rocket Man. That's
more
it.
Like a medley,
Yeah, it's more of a medley than a mashup.
Yeah,
I give him points for doing Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's. At least it's kind of a lesser known, I guess, Elton John song. So at least he's kind of like reaching. But I do have to, like, one thing I have to point out for listeners is he does a song on this record called It Don't Matter to the Sun, which is actually a really good soul song. And his version of it is, just has no soul. His version of it is really depressing. But if you dig up the original version of this song, which older listeners are going to be like, what? Is on the Chris Gaines record that Garth Brooks recorded. But it's actually a really good song, a really good old style soul song that he just slaughters, that Matthew Morrison just kind of way overproduces, and he just has no soul. He's not a soul singer. So I'd love to recommend it, but I can't. I cannot recommend this record. I would say buy Summer Rain, you know, on iTunes. Maybe buy Still Got Tonight if that's your thing. But those are really the ones I think that are worth listening to. Jennifer, final word. It's over. You think that? Yeah, it's over. That's a good one.
I mean, that's the one. It's very sleepy, but it's I think it's really pretty, and I think just again, it's like, you know, the final song in a musical.
Ed, any final words on the Matthew Morrison record?
After the episode, it'll be in my recycle bin. I mean, is that terrible to say? I just it was safe. It was too safe, but it was trying not to be safe, but it just made it like so. He tried doing different things, but that made it safer and therefore worse. So you have to commit to these types of things. I mean, I'm glad to have the corpses of Mark Salling and Matthew Morrison to look past when making my own stuff.
Well, I mean, Mark Salling is, he's still pushing that record. I mean, to his credit, if nothing else, like, I think at the end of the day, this is Matthew Morrison's ability. Like, this, having this album out gives him the ability to tour, make some money in the off season, but I can't see how it wouldn't have been better spent booking a movie and, you know, maybe even doing like some theater in the park during the summer. I mean, as I'm listening to this record, I'm just thinking, you're not an untalented guy. I just don't know that this is the best, you know, this is not the best way for you to spend your time when you could be, you know, pushing other things, or just do an entire record of jazz standards, you know, like a lot of people didn't like Sway, but that was totally in his vibe.
Wheelhouse.
Yeah, totally in his wheelhouse. Just do like a bunch of old, you know, jazz and show tunes. And I think that, you know, as far as Matthew Morrison goes, that'd be a damn fine record that I'd be happy to listen to.
Or a slightly different twist on that is, how about take modern songs and jazzify them?
That would also be good.
Oh yeah.
That would be new. At the very least,
I think he would make a totally passable Michael Bublé. Like, we've said this on the show before, but I think that Matthew Morrison would make a totally passable Michael Bublé meets Jamie Cullum, and he could totally fit into that Peter Cincotti vibe, and it would be fine, and that would be a perfectly good record. But this is just odd. This record is just weird. But yes, so, you know, that's about all there is to say about it. Do we have it? We have the Naya Rivera record coming out, so that'll be interesting. That'll be the next one to listen to.
But I mean, I remember us having hope because we're like, oh, well, because we talked about Christian Chenoweth and Idina Menzel's pop stuff, and we talked about how their voice was too big for pop music, and now, and then we're like, okay, well, there's hope for Matthew Morrison. His voice isn't too big for pop music. But then he ends up disappointing. So I have hope for Naya Rivera, but it's a reserved hope. I want to be wrong, but too many Glee stars have gone the way of this.
Well, before we leave the topic entirely, Jennifer, are there any cast members you'd like to see a record from?
Well, I guess. I mean, I would listen to anything that any of them put out.
That's true.
There's nothing I'm really like dying for.
Ed, is there a cast member that jumps out at you that you would love to see a solo record from?
I think with the right managing and advice, preferably listening to me, I think
You totally broke up.
Say that again.
What was the name?
Oh, I said Diane Agron.
Ah. That would be interesting. That would be a different sound from the other people. I mean, obviously, I think a Lea Michele record could be amazing if it's done right.
But it could all be amazing if it's done right. That's part of making it done right, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know that, like, done right or wrong, I don't know if there is a done right for, like, Mark Salling. I don't know if there is a done right for, like, Jenna Ushkowitz.
The definition of doing it right is it being right. So apparently there must be a right way to do it.
Well, I will say that I'm looking forward to a Bonnie Doone record, which I know is kind of not within the confines of the conversation, but the tracks I heard by Bonnie Doone I thought were truly, like, really exciting. And I'm looking forward to a record by that band.
Cool.
So, that brings us about to the end. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I just pulled it up. That's why my computer is done. Okay, we have Carpam721, La 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 Auburn Rocks, Karma Delani. I almost said Karma Deely, like it's somehow related to SYTYSD, whatever that is. Harlem Lee 119. Oh, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. David 169096, Katrina McGowan, Wes King, Jared Karras, Pralines, and I think that's everyone. Thank you for the reviews. They've been awesome, and
thanks.
You should continue to review us.
Definitely. And we want to thank everybody who joined us for the live chat. And the new ones that are jumping out at me are Noof and Awesome Court. I don't think I've ever seen you guys before. And I think Love That Music is new as well.
Nice.
So thanks to everybody who's joining us there. You can find us on the website at Gleeful Podcast or gleefulpodcast.com and gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast, on Facebook. And you can find the three of us at Twitter, Josh Brunel, Jenny B. Creative, and Edward Giordano.
And Gleeful Podcast. Have you ever seen that?
It's all good, baby. We got it. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to do the musical theater conversation next week. We'll take a look at some of the songs that are from musical theater that have been performed on Glee. And we'll take a look at the shows that Glee has discussed and a bit of that. So that should be a fun conversation. We'll also look at the Emmy nominations next week because we ran out of time to do that tonight.
Oh, right.
Because our Gleeful Project our Glee Project conversation ran a little longer than I had expected.
So did our Matthew Morrison conversation, in all honesty.
Touche.
And so didn't what we are watching on TV.
That's true. We didn't plan for that.
Just
one.
Totally off topic.
Thanks everybody for joining us for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Jen and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed. So
good night, everyone.
Long before it begins, make me thrillers, only you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now. When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending.